let's start at the beginning. You certainly look at dreams quite differently than most people.
Dreams have always been important to me, meaning I've decided that they're important. And within my family, if someone told a dream, it was considered important. So I think part of it is deciding that I'm going to pay attention to dreams. But I also, when I was three, I woke up with a nightmare. I had been having nightmares, and somehow this particular one made me think that there must be a way to master our nightmares to not have them. And in that moment, I just kind of resolved to understand dreams and that that was what I was going to be doing in life.
Some people go their whole lives not sure of what they want to do, and yet you had this, you were quite precocious.
Well, it was really the message of the dream. Deep within us, we have passions and impulses, and we're attracted to certain things. Some person's attracted to math. Other people are attracted to painting. And I was very attracted to dreams, and I just kept following that through my life, losing the trail from time to time, and then picking it back up to get to today.
Your father also was instrumental in you taking this path. He often says you can do anything you want if you just dream it, and I'm sure that helped.
It helps a lot. And, you know, it's something that sports psychology knows really well. When we envision something, then we're able to execute it. I could go out to my car right now, and if I don't already have in mind where I want to go, I'm just going to sit in my car until I have a vision of, oh, go to the market or, oh, go here. There's no reason for me to turn the engine on. Being able to envision and visualize things that we want makes a destination, right? And so then we just simply move towards that destination.
In your book, you were talking about how dreams can give you an idea, like you said, of where you want to go, and that by not thinking about or examining our dreams, we're really squandering a big opportunity.
Well, you know, we get so sidetracked because the world is full of goals and objectives that are set by other people and the restrictions that come when we begin to think about family and others. So we end up often chasing after something that is external to us. And so by listening to our inner self, we come back to what it is that works for us, where we are personally oriented, and how to follow that, what I call a compass point, so that we're always moving towards something that is aligned with who we are and not with trying to fulfill what we project, really, on thinking that other people would like us to fulfill.
In your own life, you got sidetracked. I was really interested when you were talking about how you were busy, 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 and that it was, you thought, because slowing down would have forced you to face a lot of things like your fears and so on. And a lot of people can relate to that.
Well, that's the thing, too. Busy, busy, busy is really, it is the phrase of our modern life. And I don't really want to slow down because if I do, I might realize that it's time to make a shift. I've been at this job for X amount of time, and maybe it's time to move to another one, or I'm in this relationship and maybe now it's time to commit. These things that require self-reflection, which takes time, are things that we tend to sort of set aside or toss under the bus, I like to say, and cover over with going to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
And what your grandmother said about being happier, that was really so important to me as I read the book.
Every moment, every present moment is infinite potential, and we make things concrete through choice. So at any moment, every possibility is available to me, and then I choose something. And as long as we remember that, we can move back to infinite potential, and we can shift if we don't like the choice we've just made. And emotions are also a choice, and outlook on life is also a choice. Choosing to pause instead of being consumed by busy, also a choice. And the whole story of my grandmother telling me that, she had passed actually. And this came in a sort of dreaming experience where I was buying something in a store and a woman was wrapping it and taking a very long time to wrap this. It was a gift that I was buying. And I was getting very frustrated, actually, because I was on a lunch break. I needed to go. And I couldn't figure out why she was taking so long. And finally, she said to me, you know, I'm just so hesitating because I'm clairvoyant and you have someone important to you who's passed who wants to say something. And I don't know how you're going to deal with that. And I said, oh, I'm fine with that. Tell me. And she said, it's your grandmother. And she just says, be happy, just be happier. And it really came at a wonderful moment. For one thing, I was in that very frustrating mode. And then in the bigger picture of my life, I was lost. I wasn't in a place of actively choosing positive things in my life and actively choosing a positive and happy outlook on life.
You can make a choice, as you said, to stop selecting anger as your way of being in the world. And it really is a choice, isn't it? You don't have to go stomping around in your busyness all the time.
We don't have to go stomping around.
Period.
And in fact, you know, the thing about dreaming is a pause. So in order to receive a dream, we have to empty, right? If my hands are full, I can't carry something else, or I can't receive something else. I can't receive a gift if my hands are full of other things. And so just to decide to have a dreaming practice is to decide to have moments of pause, to pause before going to sleep, to enter into a deep and restful sleep. We're all very sleep deprived in our modern world, and choosing to make sleep time important is important for our general health, as well as to be able to come into this place of choice and transformation. And then having that pause when we wake up in the morning to be in that reflective space, think about all of the images and feelings that are coming up for ourselves. And you know, we have different ways of cognition, pay this bill, call this person back, add up these numbers. But we also have another mode of cognition in our brain, which is the default mode network. And it's necessary for any kind of creative problem solving. And it's called by various things in the scientific community, mind wandering, daydreaming, or night dreaming. It's the place of an allowing something to arrive in our spontaneous imagination. And there's been so many inventions and books and film ideas, et cetera, that have come from that space, and in particular from night dreams. And so, you know, just saying I'm going to stop stomping around in anger, that's one thing. But to go to that reflective place where we can see and envision what the opposite of that looks like, then we're able to move towards it. So I can't say to someone who's angry, just stop being angry. We have to see what the opposite is, right? It goes back to the whole idea of having a destination. If I have this great dream that shows me in a very expanded state, now that's a new destination and I can make a very clear choice. Do I want to stomp around or be connected?
You also have in the book simple ways of getting connected to your dreams, recalling dreams. It all starts with getting a really great looking journal that you like.
Well, it's like the first topic we were talking about is deciding that your dreams are going to be important in some way, that having a dreaming practice is going to be important, and putting your energy and intention towards that. So going out to find a journal that you really, really like is the first active and concrete step of doing that. And then when you get that journal, very different energy to have a journal that you really like versus a crumpled up piece of paper that you throw by your bed. So having this journal that you really, really like, on the first blank page, just write the date and the sentence, tonight I will have a clear dream and remember. And because you've set that intention, set the pen there, go to sleep, and then wake up and write down anything that is in your mind that has arisen. The other important thing to that is writing everything down. This particular place of writing things down is a first place of getting to know the self better, because in that moment, we have such tendency to self-edit and self-criticize and judge, oh, that's not a dream, or I wouldn't want anyone to see this, or I don't know if this is really something to write down. Just get in the practice of writing everything down. I also teach a lot of creativity workshops. And this particular step of just learning to write down and describe what we see and what comes up is an extremely important part of seeing ourselves for who we really are, and also having a multiplicity of ideas that are always arising and being able to look at them. We can't really say that isn't going to work as a solution until we've fully put it on the table and looked at it.
Is the interpretation then of our dreams, is it difficult, or will we start to see patterns emerging?
Well, I don't interpret dreams. I open dreams. You can think of it as like there's a suitcase, it's closed, what's in it? And so we open it up and start looking at it item by item. And the reason it's about opening and not interpreting is because interpretation is very fixed. You know, that kind of belongs in the linear world. My heart rate has raised, I must have XYZ. But in dreaming, things continue to unfold. Our life is ever unfolding. And very often I'll move into a moment in my life where I think, oh, this is this dream from 2 years ago, still unfolding. So I look at it as more of a curious exploration and opening out of what the deeper meaning might be. And the question, that's really important. Dreams pose a question and they speak to us in terms of question. I have these images and I begin to ask, well, what do these images mean? What am I really seeing? How do I move more deeply into it? And it's a very different way of looking at dreaming. So to answer the question, yes. Even if you don't learn a very specific approach to working with dreams, if you create a dream practice for yourself and begin to really just look at your dreams with curiosity, and with the idea that they might be saying something to you, that inner knowing within yourself is going to speak to you, and you'll be entering a dialogue with the self where your dreams are going to begin to make sense. We can't make them make sense in a linear fashion. It's going to make sense with our inside.
You gave some great examples that have probably happened to all of us. I know they've happened to me. You talked at one point, I think it was in the same dream, getting a dog, a second dog, I believe, and you were also having a little bit of difficulty with money at the time, and you saw a 5,000-something check. Both of them happened in your waking life that day. But I think that many of us can relate to that, that these, we say, freaky things happened later after we dreamed.
That's the thing that's so remarkable, is that it does happen to all of us. And I am approached so frequently at all kinds of events. People come to me and they say, oh, you're the dream lady. I want to tell you this. And I've heard from so many people, I had this dream and it changed my life. And one dream changing someone's life it's not uncommon. It's actually common. And I do a project working with children on dreaming. And one of the things that we ask the children to do is to interview their parents and ask their parents if they have a dreaming relationship. And every time they come back and say, oh yeah, my mom or my dad had a dream and they changed their degree program at school, or they had a dream. And it's very interesting because it's so often I had a dream and I knew that I needed to make this change. That inner knowing is already there, but we crowd it out. And so when we go to sleep in dreaming, that crowding out, that executive network of our brain, all of that cognitive list making that we do gets quiet. So I already knew that the dream confirmed it. That already knowing inner part of us can finally speak and be heard.
But sometimes the things that do happen are freaky. I don't know how else to describe it, like your check. Getting that check at that particular moment after you had dreamed it. Did you find that?
Well,
I mean, I know you don't find it because your life is magical.
But that's just it. It's about being in touch with that. You know, there's way more to this world than things that are written on a piece of paper. There's a great teacher of mine calls it the magic in the ordinary. And when we begin to see how connected we are to so many different things, to others and to animals, to plants, it's not freaky. And I'm sure that every single one of your listeners has had the experience of someone sending them an email or calling them and them saying, oh, I was just thinking about you.
Yes.
That just thinking about you is being connected. So when we decide that, okay, so it's possible that I can be connected, I'm going to get curious about that. Then we begin to realize how very much connected we are and how things can move in different ways in our life than we might have thought beforehand.
A similar thing has happened to me. I will need money, and seemingly out of the blue, when I need it, it's there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And it's in anything. It's in relationships. It's in anything. We begin to move towards things. When we plug into our inner intuitive self, that part that has this inclination, I have a need, or I have a curiosity, or I have some kind of lack that I need to move into the world and fill, we start to move towards it. It is a destination, if you will. And we are moving towards it and making that come into our presence by the choices we make because of moving towards it. So in other words, I'll maybe say it in this example. If I'm going to go to a party and I really want to wear a red dress to that party, then I'm going to go out and I'm going to start searching for a red dress. And I'll see red dresses everywhere, and then I can take the choice of which one do I want. Those red dresses were always there. The opportunity to buy them was always there, but I wasn't looking. So as soon as we hear in ourselves, okay, you brought up the example of the dog, right? If I have a need in myself to find a companion, to have a dog, it's deep in me, and I'm already kind of thinking about it. So I'm sort of moving myself toward it in some way or another. And we move with such speed in our everyday that we don't necessarily know that we're walking towards doors that are open. And we think that the doors just opened magically, but we're already walking towards those doors, making choices to keep those doors open or to open them. When we slow ourselves down, we can see, oh, I did this, I did that, I did that, and that opened the door.
That makes sense. Dogs dream, don't they?
Everything dreams. Dreaming is the language of experience, which means it's a precognitive language. It's not verbal. So we're dreaming all the time. It's something that is happening at all times. We only become aware of it in these moments where it's highlighted, like you're saying, where we say, oh, I thought this was going to happen, or oh, I knew this was going to happen, or when we go to sleep, so that we allow something to come forward. But that part of our experiencing, that way of making sense of and responding to being alive, is happening all the time. And it's a language of images. It's to that language of images that we put the words that we use to describe it. And you're going to hear it all the time. People will say things like, oh, I just feel like I'm so stuck right now. It's like my feet are walking through mud. Well, in that person, there is an image of being stuck in mud. So every sentient being, every being on this planet is experiencing, and we don't pay attention to it. You know, we stick ourselves in offices and we put our eyes focused on the computer, but all around us are birds chirping, and we're listening to that, even if we're not actively paying attention to it. We're constantly perceiving.
Now, my last question, if we want to find a group where we could explore or open our dreams, what would we do?
Dream groups are around. I teach dream classes. You can definitely find them on my website. In my book, I give steps for starting a dream group, so you can start your own dream group. But there are dream groups around. Each one has a different approach. My particular approach comes from a very ancient lineage of dreaming and imagery that comes from the 13th century Mediterranean. My background in cognitive psychology and media psychology, but it really comes from this ancient wisdom that looks at things in a very specific way. And there are other traditions of dreaming. So it's really a matter of finding the approach that suits you the most and looking for a group. if the approach that I use is interesting, you can find out how on my website or through my book.
And what is your website, your web address, if people want to look for you?
Thanks. That is Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, at BonnieBuckner.com.
Well, you've been fascinating. Excuse me. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks so much for asking me, really.